We've been going over this part two, which is how should we respond to our own suffering. And we've looked at, just as a real quick recap, the first proper response was to solidify your spiritual foundation, which is we read and study our Bible. We attend church with the fellowship, the community of believers as our support, and we pray. And I just wanted to read a real quick quote. You've heard of George Mueller, probably. If not, this book is a dollar in the bookstore. There's only one, so if you want it, you can come get it. But George Mueller was a great man of faith. He ran an orphanage. And yet, as you know, he was so solid in his beliefs, in his foundation. And that's why we have a book about him. As an example of a great Christian who we should emulate. And yet, George Mueller, just reading this one paragraph, it says, "The building of Mr. Mueller's spiritual life was a constant conflict. While outwardly he displayed a calm attitude towards circumstances, inwardly he battled to obtain this seeming peace. During the early years of his faith pilgrimage, his battles were more severe and came more often upon him to block that upward climb to spiritual serenity." And then this sentence here is the one I wanted to really emphasize. "He laid the foundation for his prayer life by facing the obstacles in the way of communion with God." And so here, George Mueller, 100 years later or more, we're reading about what a great spiritual giant he was, and he was, and yet he still struggled. He still had conflicts. He still suffered. So when we go through things, we have to realize, number one, it's not unusual. It's not us. It's not God punishing us necessarily. It's not because we've done something so terrible. It's because we live in a broken and corrupt world. And because we all suffer. We all struggle, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, psychological. There's so many ways that we could suffer, relationships and so on. And that's just because of the world we live in, because of sin. And so, but God has given us grace. God has given us comfort. He is our rock. He is our fortress. And so we have to realize that, yes, we are going to struggle. It's not unusual. We can't beat ourselves because we're going through some trials. But God is always there for us. He's always faithful. The second was to acknowledge our feelings, to be honest with God, to maintain our routines. That's the skeleton of that keeps us going. To find joy, to not just dwell on the negative. And we talked about dealing with grief from the loss of a loved one. Dealing with pain was the seventh. Number eight was don't lose sight of yourself by being a people pleaser. The ninth was grief and the holidays, kind of how to deal with that. And then last 2 weeks, we spent on suicide is never the answer because of three reasons we discussed. Number one, this too shall pass. Many times, most things will eventually go away. You will get a new job. You know, your neighbors will move, or you will move, or whatever. You know, you can forgive that relative who is obnoxious or who just hates you. You know, you can reconcile. You can redeem those relationships by the grace of God. You know, and even if you are in some kind of chronic physical situation that you know will not go away, there is, as we're going to see in the 16th one, is looking for the blessed hope. There is ultimately hope because of God's promise of eternal life in heaven. The second of under suicides, your loss will greatly affect others. Just realizing that when you commit suicide, you're not doing it to yourself. You're doing it mostly to the people around you. And the third one is no pain, no hurt, no humiliation, and no betrayal is so deep that it cannot be overcome by the grace of God. So we looked at that. And so now we're on the 11th one, which is do not dwell on the negative. So when we are suffering, we can easily dwell on the negative. You know, we look at all the things, you know, we can look at all the things that we are missing because of this suffering, because of what we're in, because it becomes the weight on our lives. You know, I can't go on vacation because I lost my job and finances are tight. Or I have had a hard time reading my Bible or focusing while at church because all that I can think about is my horrible situation. You know, or my relationships are falling apart because all that I could talk about is myself and my agonizing life. You know, everybody that I meet becomes a microphone. Or I'm, you know, it's just somebody for me to talk into, to talk at, you know, and that's how everything is. And so I'm losing friends because nobody wants to hear it anymore. Or I must be a really bad person because other people aren't having the same problems that I have. And so rather than focus on the negative, focus on moving forward. So how do we do that? How do we focus on moving forward? Well, one is gratitude, to be grateful. Research has shown that being grateful increases our levels of dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, which are the feel-good kind of hormones in our life. And so being grateful increases these feel-good hormones. And when we feel better, when those hormones are released, we feel more joyful, we feel happier. And when we feel like that, we are more grateful. And it's an upward spiral of things getting better and better of being grateful. So why do we have to take drugs to be happy? You know, be grateful instead. It's cheaper and its side effects are a whole lot less, you know. And the people around us are happy too, you know. Two psychiatrists, Dr. Robert A. Emmons of the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael E. McCall of the University of Miami have done much research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. A second group wrote almost daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that affected them with no emphasis on whether they're positive or negative. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better of their lives. And you know what that research proves? Again, the Bible is right. The Bible and God said, in all things be thankful. You know, all things be thankful. Research proves the Bible over and over and over again. Being grateful calms the nervous system, which then calms the body. So what are some benefits of being grateful? Gratitude reduces depression. A review of 70 studies that indicate responses from more than 26,000 people found an association between higher levels of gratitude and lower levels of depression. Because when we're thankful, we've got our eyes focused not just on the positive, but as Christians, on the God who has given us these things. For he said, what have you received that I have not given you? You know, so everything good comes down from the Father of lights, as it says in James. And so, you know, it's God that gives us these things. When we are grateful, we can be like, well, thank you, God, you know, that you gave me this or that this happened. And that focuses our eyes not so much on our problem, but focuses our eyes on God. Gratitude gives us greater satisfaction in life. You are focusing more on the ways in which God has blessed you rather than on the ways in which the world has cut you down. And you know what? When you set your eyes on the things above rather than on the things that are on earth, you see the eternal. You see the eternal weight of glory rather than the temporal light affliction that we are experiencing right now. Gratitude gives us a more proper self-esteem, in a way. Your self-esteem comes from what God says about you, rather than that how the world tries to degrade you. The world is always cutting us down. If you notice, what this world loves to do is to take somebody, build them up quickly, put them on a pedestal, and then what do they love to do? Cut that person down as quickly and as viciously as possible. You know, we don't try to make ourselves feel better, people in the world, by raising ourselves up. We try to make ourselves feel better in comparison to others by taking others down and putting them beneath us. God does not want to cut people down. God wants to raise each one of us up. And so God says that you are a glorious child of His. The world tells us that we are worthless and ugly. You know, who is more correct? Who should you be listening to? You know, I remember reading one story where a guy was teaching at a conference, and he was talking about how God has created each one of us in the way that we're created to best serve Him. You know, so I'm created the way I am because that's how I can best serve God. And so I should be who I am and not try to be somebody else because this is how God created me. And God knew what He was doing when He created me. And He said, God created each one of us perfectly. And one guy in the audience stood up and he said, look at me. I'm a hunchback. You can't tell me that God, you know, created me in the best way possible. And the speaker looked at him and right away said, well, you know, God created you as a perfect hunchback. You know, and it kind of sounds stupid, but when you think and think and think about it, you realize as a hunchback, God knew that was the best way that person could serve God and bring joy and pleasure to God. It may be harder, but God knew what He was doing. And so we should be, once we, our self-esteem is not based on, oh, how popular am I? You know, what does she think about me? What does he think about me? Because the world tries to chop us down. But when you think, what does God think about me? Am I pleasing to God? You know, God created me this way. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll realize, hey, my self-esteem is a correct self-esteem because it's based on what God thinks about me. And God created me perfectly, correctly, so that I can best serve Him. Gratitude holds on to the positive longer. We can too easily and too often hold on to slights, betrayals, and offenses for decades. I have a relative who, she's I think around 85 now, and she is still mad at her aunt because when my relative was a little girl, the aunt bought ice cream for some other kids but didn't buy her ice cream. The aunt is dead, you know, she'd be like 120 by now, but she's still mad at her for that, you know, and this is what the world tells us to do. Hold on to those grudges, seek revenge, you know, and these offenses, they fester and they become resentments and they become bitterness, you know. In fact, it says, let no root of bitterness spring up among you in the Bible. So we wind up becoming the person who then criticizes everything and those who look for the worst in everything. We focus on our headwinds, on those obstacles that hit us when we try to move forward. And when we have this attitude of, of focusing on the positive, good things are we're focusing on the negative. Good things last as long as an egg that's cracked into a nonstick pan and then is turned sideways. You know, it just slides right off. All the good things just go away and slide right off because we're just so focused on the negative. Gratitude keeps the pan level so that we will enjoy that egg longer. You know, it's, it doesn't just, that positive just doesn't slip away. You know, it keeps that good thing fresh and it crowds out the negative. We focus on our tailwinds, those benefits that we have received. And what is our biggest tailwind? Well, God says that he's behind us, that he's pushing us forward. That's our main tailwind, is that God is with us. He's wants us to succeed. He wants us to be victorious. And he's our tailwind. So look at him, as I said last week or the week before, is we have us, we have a problem, and we have God. What is going to be the order? If we have us and the problem in front of us and then God behind the problem's going to look bigger because the problem is what's closer. The problem is what we're looking at. But when we reverse that and we have us, God, and then the problem behind God, the problem becomes small and we keep our focus on God. Always keep that order, us, God, and the problem. Again, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Gratitude builds stronger social relationships. I mean, I'm sure you've been there and you know somebody who just complains about everything, who puts down everything, who is negative about everything. You know, they're just a complainer, someone who finds fault. Well, in the Bible, who was someone who was a positive person? And he, I mean, there was a lot of them, but Barnabas in the book of Acts, he was called the son of encouragement, Acts 4:36. You know, I mean, wouldn't you love to be, you know, as you come in, people go, oh, there's the daughter of encouragement. There's the son of encouragement. You know, how, you know, they want to be with you because you're an encouraging person. You know, Acts 4:36 is Barnabas. We want to be like a Barnabas. Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And as Christians, you know, we want to draw people with what? We should imitate God. What does God draw people with? With loving kindness. He says, for I have drawn you with loving kindness. That's how we evangelize. That's how we win our neighbors. That's how we win our relatives, by imitating God's loving kindness. And they will feel like, wow, I want to be like that person. I want to have what that person has. Gratitude increases feelings of security and connectedness. We see that all is not terrible, that some people are kind, and we diminish that sense of paranoia that everyone and everything is out to get us. We draw closer to God and feel safe knowing that he is our rock and our fortress. And as I've mentioned many times, if you read in the Psalms, especially I believe it's Psalm 106 and the ones around it, people got in trouble. And why? Because they forgot what God had done. Being grateful remembers what God has done. And finally, gratitude produces less anxiety. Anxiety usually comes from dwelling on the negative, you know, thinking about what's the worst thing that can happen, you know, and oftentimes it's thinking about the bad things that have happened and then thinking about the bad things that might happen. You know, anxiety worries what we might lose, what other people think. Being grateful focuses on the good that you have now and not on the bad that may happen in the future. Gratitude produces contentment, and contentment is making the most of what you currently have. Philippians 4:11-12 says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. whatever the circumstances. I mean, that's a rough thing for somebody to be able to say. And it's a rough thing for someone like Paul to say. I mean, he was stoned, he was betrayed. I mean, he suffered so many great things. And yet he could say, I'm content in whatever circumstances I am, even when I'm in jail, even when I'm in a cold cell and chained to a Roman soldier, I am still content. I know what it is to be in need, and he can certainly say that. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, whether living in plenty or in want. And what's the secret? The secret is being grateful. The secret is focusing on God. The secret is knowing that God is our fortress, that God is our rock. 1 Timothy 6:8, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's the key. That's the secret. Knowing that God is there. Our health could be gone in a second. Excuse me. Our finances could be gone quickly. Our friends, our relatives, so many things can disappear in a snap. But God will never disappear. God will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what happens to us, God will be there for us. So we've looked at why we should be grateful. So now let's look at how to be more grateful. One, and I've mentioned this maybe in the past, is keep a gratitude journal. You know, buy a blank notebook or on a calendar or something, and each day write down at least one thing that you are grateful for. It could be something routine, like, I'm grateful today that I had three meals today. You know, and you may think, well, you know, we're in America. We take so much for granted. Think of the people in Gaza. You know, there's a huge famine. People are struggling to eat. In so many other countries, in African countries, and even in places in America, people are just on the very level of starvation. And we have three meals. You know, we think, we take it for granted. Oh, we have a job, we make money, we go to the store, we buy some food, no big deal. Well, no. Who gave you that job? God. Excuse me. Who gave you that store that you're able to go to? Who gave you the car to get there? Who gave you the health that you could walk to that car and to pick up that food? Who gave you a bottle of water so you can drink? You know, it's God that gives us these things. You know, and these little things we take for granted. It's like, no, God has given us all these things. Or you could say, I am grateful that my refrigerator worked today. You know, I can say that because our refrigerator broke a month ago, and for a week we didn't have anything. And it's like, that's when it really comes home, when you open the door and it's like, oh, I could smell that rotten food again. You know, it's like, be grateful. You have a refrigerator that works. Try being grateful for three things a day for 30 days and see what happens. And again, it doesn't have to be these incredible things like, well, I didn't get a promotion today, so I didn't have anything to be grateful for. No, you had a soft bed. You had heat in your house. You know, you had transportation to come to church. You know, you didn't wake up knowing that, you know, you're in hospice or something. You know, there's so many things you can be grateful for. You know, be grateful for all those things. Do it three things for 30 days and just see how it changes your mindset. Number two, when something good happens, thank God for it, even when it's small. You know, I've tried to get into the habit, you know, and I've mentioned this before, when I have to go into the office, which isn't much, it's in Edison, and I have to go up Route 9, and there are 28 stoplights. Yes, I did count them, because I'm a data analyst. That's what I do for a living. I count things and, you know, pay attention to that. 28 lights. And instead of me going, oh, I got stuck at 3 lights in a row. This is awful. My life is over, you know, kind of thing. It's like, oh, thank you, God, that I made it through a green light. You know, trying to do that. And even when I get stuck at a red light, it's like, hey, thank you, God. Now I have a minute where I could pray for somebody in church. Or thank you for this extra minute where I can just worship you and thank you for something. You know, use these little opportunities to be thankful. You know, thank you, God, that I can buy food today. Thank you that I have a good church to go to. Thank you, God, that my Sunday school teacher is the very best. You know, there's so many things to be thankful for. We already did that one. Number 3, tell someone why you are grateful for something that they said or did. You know, so much we take other people for granted. You know, hey, thank you for cooking dinner tonight. That was really good. Or thank you for driving the girls to soccer practice today. Or going, you know, sending an email or going up to Jack or whoever and saying, hey, thanks for the sermon that you preached today. You know, I mean, so often we pick out the little negative things. You know, and I've mentioned this before, is like, I've had in this class where I've, you know, I teach for 40 minutes and then I'll have somebody literally call me at home to tell me one sentence that I said they completely disagreed with. You know, and it's like, you know, I'm not going to go, well, what about the other 39 minutes and 30 seconds, you know? You know, so try to be gracious, try to be polite, you know, but it's like, I mean, I've had people say, oh, you're arrogant. I will never come to another one of your studies, you know, or things like that. I mean, so many people focus on the negative. You know, it's nice. You know, Jack does a good sermon. Tell him. Tell somebody that they did a great job, that it brought you closer to Christ, that you saw something that made you realize, hey, I can trust God more than I've ever trusted him before because you said this. You know, those things make a big difference. And number 4, show yourself compassion. You know, instead, when you're struggling, when you're suffering, instead of beating yourself up, do something kind for yourself. You know, go to a spa. Go to that bakery, coffee shop, or ice cream place and get your favorite treat. You know, buy yourself something that you've always wanted, even if you don't need it. You know, I mean, as long as it's not like, oh, sorry, honey, I emptied the savings account, but is that a great Lamborghini in the front? You know, you got to be somewhat reasonable, but, you know, treat yourself and realize as you're treating yourself, thank you, God, I was able to go out today and have that, like, coffee ice cream with chocolate chips in it. You know, that was really good. I really appreciated being able to do that, God. You know, those little things. Number 5, find meaning. Yes, when we're going through a hard time, find someone else who is struggling. Go to them. Listen to them. Comfort and encourage them. Share your story with them. Tell them that they're not alone, that you are there, that you know. And then, you know, other things you can do. Go to a nursing home and spend some time with people there. Help out at a food pantry. Serve at your church. I mean, just this last Friday, we had Harvest Fest, and there was probably 50 to 100 or more volunteers. You know what? Those people probably went home feeling blessed, you know, and except for those who worked at the balloon animal booth, and their fingers are still probably swollen and sore from tying 100 balloon animals. But, you know, other than that ministry, you know, all the other ones, you come home being blessed. And just real quick, there was a study done where researchers went out onto a street, and at random they picked people. And they said, you know, we're going to do a real quick research project. It's only one day. All you have to do is give me your phone number, you know. And so those who agreed, what they did was they gave him $5 and $20. And they said, you have to follow these specific instructions. And they handed him an envelope. And half the people in the envelope said this is, you know, go and do something for yourself. And it gave specific instructions. Go to the store and buy yourself something. Go to a bakery and buy yourself a donut or a cake or whatever it might have been. And the other half was given specific instructions to use that money for someone else, to either give it to someone specifically or to give to a charity or something. And then they said, but you have to do this by 5 p.m. today. And then we're going to call you at night. And before they did any of this, they gave them a happiness survey. You know, how happy are you? You know, kind of thing. And then after everything was done, at like, say, 7 at night, they called everybody. And what they found was that, and then they did another happiness survey on the phone call. What they found was there was no difference between the $5 and the $20. You know, that it didn't matter how much money was involved. But what they did find was that the people who gave the money to charity or used it and spent it on someone else were significantly happier than the people that spent it on themselves. You know, and so what does that prove? Again, the Bible is true. Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. You know, and so giving makes you more blessed. Giving it is better. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But that doesn't mean when you're struggling, you can't sometimes take care of yourself. Give yourself that little extra treat. And number six, make plans. They don't have to be related to what you're going through. You know, I mean, they don't have to necessarily be the plans of how to get through your suffering. Just make plans outside of things. You know, plan maybe to do an in-depth Bible study on a topic you've always been interested in, the second coming or Jesus's miracles. I mean, there's so many topics in the Bible you could study out. You could spend a lifetime on just one topic. You know, that's how deep it is. I mean, as they say, is the Bible is like, it's like an ocean. It, in parts, it's so shallow that an infant can play in it and not drown and be safe. And yet, the smartest theologian can dive down to the bottom and never touch the bottom. Can just keep going and going and going. And that's how the Word of God is. You know, so pick a study, pick something. I spent 2 years putting together the study on suffering, and I didn't even scratch the surface. There's so much more that could be done. You know, plan a vacation. It doesn't have to be expensive. You know, go to Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster and see, you know, the Bible, as they say, make the Bible come alive. You know, start a hobby. Create a prayer book and pray at a good and consistent time every night. Or every day, whenever you want to pray. Visit an old friend that you haven't seen in years and who might live a ways away. Plan a really nice meal and have someone over for dinner whom you've never had over before. You know, ultimately, what this comes down to is do not stew in your self-pity. You know, that will get you nowhere but further down. You may not feel like it, but you know what? You are blessed. You know, if you are a Christian, God has done tremendous things in your life. I have one of my supplemental sheets that I've passed out is the 36 changes that occurred the instant you are saved. You know, things like you're forgiven of all your sins, you're adopted, you're sanctified, you're justified, you're glorified, you're delivered from the domain of darkness, you're transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, you are a citizen of heaven, and on and on. These are things that are true. They will never be taken away. They are eternal. You know, walk up to an unbeliever. They have none of those things, but you do. Because God has given you these things. And we forget about that. We forget, you know what, God? I'm forgiven. Every terrible thing I've done, every thought I've had, every greed, every envy, every lust, whatever it was, I've been forgiven of those things because your Son died on the cross for me. You know, that is a tremendous blessing. And we forget about those things. So focus on what God has done. Be grateful in everything. And realize, ultimately, it's God who gives you those things. And when you're grateful, you will feel blessed, you will be blessed. And what will happen is you will focus on the blessings and not focus on the crushing weight of this suffering that's ruining your whole life and ruining every aspect of it. Because God ultimately and always is a good God. And he's always a good God to us, no matter what. So that took a lot longer than I expected. So we finished that one, and it's time to stop. Next time, we are going to look at taking care of our physical needs, and then God's grace will bring us through this. So anybody have any comments, questions? Anything, you know, any kind of questions? Is light a particle or, okay, never mind.
what you mentioned before, it's so good to remember to put God between our problems, and not to have the problem first, but to have God in between our problems. Seek him first. It's so good to mention that and to remember, for all of us to remember that.
Yeah. If you didn't hear, he was just reemphasizing to put God between us and the problems and not the problem between us and God. All right, why don't we pray? Thank you so much, Father, that you are greater than our suffering. You are greater than our trials. You are greater than everything. And I thank you that you are not in your greatness an aloof God, a God who doesn't care about us because we are just but dust. You know that we are frail. You know that we are vulnerable. You know that we struggle, that we have problems, that we tend to focus on ourselves and to take our eyes off of you. And I thank you that when we feel that you're not there, that you still are, that you're right next to us, that you want to embrace us, that you want to bind up our wounds. And I pray, God, that we would learn to have a heart of gratitude, to be grateful, to in all things, to just say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, that you've given me that. And that we would learn to do that throughout the day and just see how much that changes our perspective on life. I pray, Father, that you would bless this church, that you would bless our staff and our pastors, and that you would bring us two more pastors that would fit in and truly make this church one that's totally glorifying to you in all ways, and that all those pastors would get along and have a good vision together. I ask that as we go through this week that we would be thankful for all things and that we would be a joy and pleasure to you, and that if anybody has come today who's not saved, that your Holy Spirit would draw them and save them and move in their hearts and lives. I give you thanks for this time now. Amen.